Good evening. Welcome to Metropolitan Baptist Church. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Let's read verses 13 to 16. In our modern culture, we connect together salt and pepper, very common within our day. The Lord Jesus connected salt and light. So I think the Lord Jesus had a bit of an idea of what's best for us, and he draws the connection between salt and light. So I'd like to preach a sermon this evening on salt and light in our lives. Verses 13 to 16 of Matthew chapter 5, it reads, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, O Lord Jesus, that you are the light of the world. And Lord, we pray as we assemble this evening, I pray that you'd quicken our minds, help us to focus upon you, O Lord Jesus. And I pray as we seek to draw nigh to you, I pray that you'd draw nigh to us. Teach us from your word how we can be the salt of the earth and how we can be the light of the world. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. In Bible study, context is incredibly important. By context, we mean the verses before and the verses after. And whenever you study a passage of Scripture, always bear in mind that within the verses that precede and the verses that follow that passage of Scripture that you are focusing upon, therein lies help. Therein lies the boundaries concerning correct Bible interpretation. Now, verses 13 to 16 of Matthew chapter 5 follow verses 1 to 12 in Matthew chapter 5. Verses 1 to 12 of Matthew chapter 5 deal with the Beatitudes. Attitudes that should prevail in your life, attitudes that should prevail in my life. Verse number 3 makes reference to the poor in spirit, a dependence upon the Lord. Verse number 4, blessed are they that mourn, a true, genuine sorrowness for sin. God tells us God will comfort with forgiveness. Blessed are the meek in verse 5. Verse 6, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful. Those that are merciful will obtain mercy. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Verse number 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called, or give evidence that they are the children of God. And then from verses 10 to 12, we have a couple of verses devoted to the principle of persecution, that if we live by Bible principles, yes, we will suffer persecution. So verses 13 to verse 16, our Lord is challenging you and I to be the salt of the earth. God is challenging us to be the light of the world. The usage of the word earth there in verse number 13 is in reference to where you and I are right now. It's in reference to you and I being salt right where we are at, in our homes, in our communities, in our church, in our school. Being salt right where we are at. Jesus said, ye are, present tense. Ye are the salt of the earth. So the Lord Jesus tells us that we are to be salt right where we are at. Salt is an amazing product. It has the ability to preserve. It stops decay. It can't remove decay, but it can prevent it. And before refrigeration, salt was rubbed into meat in order to preserve it from corrupting. Salt also is helpful because it adds taste. It makes food taste a whole lot nicer. Thirdly, when I think of salt, I'm mindful of the fact that salt creates thirst. When you and I take in salt, a large portion of salt, i.e. via a meal, then you are naturally thirsty. Salt has the potential to melt snow. Often in countries, well, very commonly in countries like Japan, they use salt to melt snow, to provide some grip on roads. Salt has the potential also to heal wounds. It can aid well-being. It has the ability to kill germs. In Ezekiel chapter 16, verse number 4, there is a reference to newborn infants being rubbed with salt. And to my understanding, that practice is used in some cultures even still today, believing that's good for the child, for the baby. Salt within biblical days was used to remedy a toothache or to deal with bad breath. So within the biblical setting, salt has a measure of value when it comes to personal well-being. And the Lord Jesus said, ye are the salt of the earth. The Lord Jesus did not say, ye are the pepper of the earth. There's a reason why he used the analogy of salt. Now this is foundational concerning your influence and my influence in our day. We are to be salt right where we live. When I think of the principle of decay and how salt has the potential to halt decay or stop decay, I'm mindful of the beatitude there where the Bible teaches us in verse 6 that we are to hunger and thirst after righteousness. We as Bible-believing Christians need to set a standard of righteousness and restrain or hold back the tide of evil in our day. As one commentator said, that we are to be the salt of the earth. We are to preserve the world from being putrefied and being destroyed. Our lives should be attractive to those that observe our conduct. When I think of salt, salt has the ability to add taste, and therefore your life and my life should be attractive to the unsaved world. The Bible reads that we are to be pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, verse number 8. Your life and my life should be like salt. It should have an attraction to it, to the point that your life and my life cause others to thirst after God. We should be pointing people to the one that can quench the thirst of man permanently. Ye are the salt of the earth, and salt has the potential to create thirst, and your life and my life should cause people to thirst after the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the King of kings. Then verse number 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called what? The children of God. So our lives should be pointing people to the one that can quench man's thirst. We are to be the salt of the earth. Our lives should radiate warmth, the warmth of Christ. Just like salt has the potential to melt ice and snow, your life and my life should radiate the warmth of Jesus Christ. Verse number 7 reads, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Verse number 4 reads, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. We are to be the salt of the earth. And your life and my life should have such an effect upon others that it brings about eternal change. The Lord Jesus does not give us an option. He tells us this is what you are to be. And if we are to be the salt of the earth, then the principles found from verses 1 to 12 need to be evident in your life and need to be evident in my life. The principle of dependence upon God. The principle of being sorry for sin. The principle of meekness, the principle of hungering and thirsting after God, the principle of mercy, purity of heart, and being a peacemaker, these qualities will enhance our saltness for God's glory. And Jesus said, you are to be the salt of the earth. God does not give us an option. He says, you are to be this. You are to be salt. Then he went on to say, in verse number 13, if the salt has lost its flavoring power, what profit is it? Wherewith shall it be salted? To what value is it? Then our Lord went on to say, well, it's when salt loses its savor, its saltness, and that is possible, then Jesus said it's good for what? Nothing. Good for nothing. So that's a biblical term. Amen. You know? It's good for nothing. Jesus said that. It's good for nothing. A Christian that has no oomph about him is good for nothing. Salt that can't flavor is good for nothing. But it's to be cast out, thrown away. And within biblical times, when salt was exposed to water and sun and heat, that will deteriorate that salt to the point where the salt will lose its flavor, lose its power to flavor. And therefore, it was quite common to just throw the salt out, throw it out onto the streets. It's good for nothing. And we as Bible-believing Christians, Jesus has called us to be the salt of the earth. But how can we be the salt of the earth unless we are salty Christians? We are salty Christians right where we are at. And the principles found in verses 1 to 12 give us a very detailed description of what a salty Christian will be like. They will depend upon the Lord. They will be meek. They will demonstrate true repentance for their sin. They will be pure in heart. They will be a peacemaker. They will be merciful and so on. Let me ask you this evening, how salty is your life? See, the Lord Jesus said that we are to be the salt of the earth. Is it possible to have salt that's not salty? Of course it is. Salt can deteriorate to the point where it's of no value. It looks like salt, but when you taste it, there's no flavor. It's gone. It's neutral. And Jesus said, to what avail is that salt? What profit is there? Jesus said, it's good for nothing. Cast it out. It's of no value. And brethren, this evening, we as Bible-believing Christians, our Lord has commissioned us to be the salt of the earth. And these attitudes need to prevail in your life. These attitudes need to prevail in my life. If I want to be a salty Christian, God tells me in the Word of God how I can maintain my saltness. It's called the Beatitude. That's the context, is it not? But our Lord doesn't stop there. We are to be the salt of the earth. But note then verses 14 to 16, he makes reference to light. Ye are the light of the world. Same type of sentence structure as ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the light of the world. So once we have come to the point that we are the salt of the earth, then we can qualify to be the light of the world. And why do I say that? Because note the contrast between earth there in verse 13 and world there in verse 14. The earth is in reference to where you are at right now. Your surrounding, your home, your community, your church, your school. You are the salt of the earth. You are to be salt right where you live. Your life, my life, should create a thirst in others for the one that can quench man's thirst. When was the last time that somebody thirsted after God as they tasted your life? As they tasted your attitude? As they tasted your conversation? As they tasted your activities? When was the last time somebody salted? When was the last time somebody thirsted after God because they tasted your life and they found it very, very tasty to the point that it created a thirst for the Lord? We are to be salty Christians. But before we can be the light of the world, we must be the salt of the earth. The world here is in reference to the world, the cosmos, the world as in the earth, the world. All 265 nations, all 6 point whatever billion people, we are to be the light of the world. Now note then verse number 14 concerning being the light of the world. The Lord Jesus teaches us in verse 14 that this light cannot be hidden. Just like a city that is built on a hilltop cannot be hid, so likewise the intensity or lack of intensity of your light, of my life, will be evident to all. It cannot be hid. Just like a city that is set up on a hilltop, its seen by all, whether it wants to be seen or not. Jesus is saying, you are the light of the world, and whether you like it or not, everybody sees your light.
Right.
Nothing is hid. Yeah. God sees everything about you. God sees your attitude. God sees your conversation. God sees everything you do.
Right.
Everything.
Yeah.
If you don't believe me, go to Proverbs chapter 5, please. This sobers me at least once a month. Proverbs 5:21, it reads, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth," God considers, he weighs up, he evaluates, he judges all his goings. God sees everything. And the Lord Jesus said, you are to be the light of the world. And he uses the illustration of a city that is set upon a hilltop. That city is in view of all. The intensity or lack of intensity is evident by all. But more so, the Lord Jesus is saying to you and I that we are to be the light of the whole world. That's the positive element. The not so positive element or the sobering element is that God does see everything. Your intensity or lack of intensity as a child of God is evident before all. In Romans 2:16, the Bible reads, "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel." How bright is your light? Or how bright is your life, I should say? What intensity of light are you generating? Or just like a city that is set on a hilltop is seen by all, we as God's people are to be the light of the world. And whether we like it or not, our light is evident before all. Then our Lord went on to teach in verse number 15 that this light is not to be limited. Our light is to be seen by all. It can't be hidden. But secondly, this light is not to be limited. It's not to be hindered. Note then verse 15 once again, "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel." Nobody would light a candle and hinder its effectiveness by covering it up with a basket, for example, a bushel. You wouldn't do that. That's what the Lord Jesus is saying. You wouldn't do that. If you light a lamp or candle, you would normally and naturally do all that you can to make sure that light reaches its full potential and it lights up as much area as possible. And then our Lord went on to say in verse number 15 that in order to achieve that, you would even be prepared to place that candle upon a candlestick, so that it gives light to all the house. Jesus said, you are to be the light of the world. Just like a city set upon a hilltop is evident by all, your light and my light needs to shine in the world. It's not to be hidden. But as I've already stressed, this city that is set upon a hilltop is evident to all, and so likewise your life and my life is evident before all. And then as we've just read there in verse 15, the Lord Jesus said, if you are to light a candle, then it would be normal and natural for you to place that light in such a position that it will radiate the most light so that the whole house will be lit up. And for those of us that have been studying Bible manners and customs, we will recall that within the biblical days, it was common for a lamp to always be lit during the evenings. There would always be a light on. You would not turn all your lights off like we do in our culture. You'd have a lamp burning. Thereby, it was evident by all without that home that there were people within those four walls. And the Lord Jesus uses that analogy to say to you and I that we are to be the light of the world. Our light needs to burn continually. We need to move beyond right where we live, the earth. We need to send our light to the world. This is our mandate from Almighty God. We're to shine forth the light of the gospel in all the world. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. My friend, this is our mandate from God. We are to be the light of the world. Our light is the gospel message. If we are the salt of the earth, we have the potential to be the light of the world. Do you sincerely want to be the light of the world? Before we can be the light of the world, we need to be the salt of the earth. Verses 1 to 12 need to be a reality in your life and need to be a reality in my life. It was said of John the Baptist, he was a burning and shining light. The Lord Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So our Lord said, I am the light of the world. Listen to me this evening. Jesus said, you are to be the light of the world. I am the light of the world. You are to be the light of the world. That which our Lord Jesus is, we are commanded to be. But if we are to be the light of the world, we need to be first and foremost the salt of the earth. There needs to be a dependence upon God, poor in spirit. There needs to be an acknowledgement of our sin before a holy and righteous God. Blessed are they that mourn. There needs to be meekness. There needs to be a hungering and thirsting after righteousness. There needs to be mercy. There needs to be purity of heart. There needs to be a willingness to be a peacemaker. If we are to be the light of the world, brethren, we must first and foremost be the salt of the earth. But salt that is tasteless, Jesus said, is good for nothing. Verse 13 precedes verse 14. You must be salt right where you live. And that will energize you, empower you to be the light of the world. Our light will not shine brighter than the measure of our saltness as Bible-believing Christians. And the Lord Jesus went on to say in verse 16, let, allow your light. Let your light so shine. The light of our lives is to move beyond our immediate area to the whole world. Well, how is that possible? Well, only by supporting missionaries, of course. How can you and I go to the four regions of the four corners of the world? We can't. But we can be the salt of the earth, can't we? And as we are the salt of the earth, God will empower us to be the light of the world, and God will give us the spiritual quality and power to be that light to the world and support missionaries and get behind those that are going into the highways and byways and compelling people to come in. See, we can only be in one place at one time, but we can support others so that they will go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And the Lord Jesus said, so let your light so shine. Let it shine. So how can we be the light of the world, brethren? By supporting missionaries, getting behind missionaries. But my friend, it's more than just putting money in an offering bag. Amen. Listen to me. It's more than just putting money in an offering bag. It's you and I being the salt of the earth. Amen. If we are not the salt of the earth, we won't be the light of the world. Amen. That'll come to an end. Yeah. That'll dry up. We are no brighter than the quantity of our saltness. The quality of our saltness. Because if the spiritual foundation isn't correct, then just putting money into a bag simply because you and I can afford to will eventually come to an end. See? That's what happens. So by no coincidence, our Lord addresses the issue that we are to be the salt of the earth, because this is the foundation to a healthy and consistent and brighter light to the world. Let your light so shine. I love that little phrase, so shine. That simply means let your light shine brightly. Beyond just being on, may it shine brightly. And if we want to be a bright and shining light for the glory of God, we need to make sure that our lives are full of good salt. We need to have a taste test. Just lick your finger. Have a good taste. Say, Lord, reveal my salt level, please. Because if we want to be the light of the world, we need to be full of salt. And the reason why many of God's people and many of so-called churches of Jesus Christ are not reaching this world for Christ, and they're not supporting missionaries as they ought to, because God's people have lost their saltness. See? The attitudes of dependability, the Beatitudes, are not evident within their lives. Light's an amazing thing. We certainly enjoy the benefits of light, but yet to explain light is impossible. It's a miracle. Light's a miracle. It removes darkness. Light gives direction. Light provides clarity. Light provides power. Light enables growth. These are just some of the benefits of light. When a person is exposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ, they are transferred from the kingdom of darkness unto the kingdom of light, are they not? When a person comes face to face with the glorious gospel of light, they see that in Christ Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. When a person is exposed to the gospel of light, that individual sees the world as it really is. When a person is exposed to the gospel light, that person in Christ Jesus can have power over the dominion of sin in their life. When a person receives the glorious gospel of Christ, that person not only becomes a new creature, but that person has the potential to become Christ-like. The Lord Jesus said, "Ye are to be the light of the world." A city that is set on a hilltop cannot be hid. That ought to be true of your life. That ought to be true of my life. But may I warn you, despite our intensity of lightness, God sees everything. Our lives are placed upon, so to speak, upon a hilltop. God sees everything. You are to be the light of the world. And the Lord Jesus said, "One that lights a candle will do all that they can to make sure that light is in such a position so that it will radiate the most amount of light possible." And brethren, this evening, if we are to be the light of the world, we need to be the salt of the earth. Let your light so shine before men. Before men. This is our opportunity. The eternal realm is only around the corner for those of us that know Jesus Christ as Savior. Amen. Am I right or not? The Lord Jesus could return this evening. And you and I will have no further opportunity to be the light of the world. Because we'll be in the presence of the light of lights, the Lord Jesus. And the Bible teaches us that you be the light of the world right now, right now, right where you are at. Let your light so shine before men that they, mankind, will see your good works. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, please. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Verse 10 follows, For those that are saved by God's grace, by a faith, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So God has preordained that every blood-bought child of God will give evidence of good works. And the Lord Jesus said, a good work is to let your light so shine before men that they, the world, may see your good works. And the end result will be at the end of verse 16 of Matthew 5, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Glorify your Father which is in heaven. As each one of us is involved in being a light to the world through the missions program of this church, God will receive greater glory. We glorify God more so by being a light of the world. How can we possibly do that? Well, by supporting missionaries. But how can we effectively do that? By being the salt of the earth. You've got to be the salt of the earth. Listen to me. You've got to be the salt of the earth before you can be the light of the world. It's one thing to throw your money into an offering bag. But for that light to shine brighter to full potential, you and I as the giver need to be full of saltness. We have to be the salt of the earth. And if you and I are the salt of the earth, then we can be the light of the world. We can shine before fellow man. We can demonstrate God's goodness by our good works, our conversion, by our life. And thereby God the Father is glorified. Proverbs 4:18 reads, "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." My friend, this evening Jesus Christ is coming again. His return is imminent. His return will be personal. It will be visible. Until that day, we have the responsibility of being the light of the world. If we are to be the light of the world, what do you have to be first? The salt of the earth. How salty are you? If I was to touch you and measure your saltness, what result would I get? What about me? I need to be salty. Salt can look the part, but have no flavor. And Jesus said that type of salt is good for nothing. That's not what I want to be. Is that what you want to be? May God enable us to be the salt of the earth. And thereby we can be the light of the world. So let me encourage you as we continue to seek God's will concerning our missions program for the coming year. It all begins with you and I being the salt of the earth. And then we can be effectively the light of the world. Let's bow for prayer.